Thanks for joining with us at Homilies from Holy Cross. Holy Cross Catholic Church is a parish in Kernersville, North Carolina, within the Diocese of Charlotte. Our podcast is a daily way for us to hear the gospel proclaimed and the word preached. So we're going to dive in and see what God wants to speak to our hearts today. Our gospel for today, Tuesday, in the second week of Easter, comes from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3, the second part of verse 7, so verse 7 all the way through verse 15. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So we have this reading from the third chapter of St. John, Christ, the beginning of his public ministry. And of course, the lectionary, it drops us right into the middle of this conversation between Nicodemus and our Lord. Before Nicodemus has asked, you know, how is it that a man can be born anew? Certainly he cannot enter back into his mother's womb. But our Lord has already explained to him, "I'm not speaking of a human birth, I'm speaking of a spiritual rebirth." And then after this snippet of the conversation comes the famous John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," and that beautiful imagery that Christ uses of the light coming into the world and illumining the works of man to show whether they are works of evil or works that are wrought by God. And so I do encourage each of you to pull out your Bibles. Hopefully you don't have to dust them off as well, but to pull out your Bibles and read the beginning of John chapter 3 all the way through verse 21 to get a whole picture of this conversation with Nicodemus and the whole teaching that our Lord is giving to him. But let's jump right in. Why does the church give us this gospel? Because of the baptismal liturgy of Easter, because people have been received into the church, and Easter is that time of the new living and flowing waters by which we have our rebirth, that those of us who have been baptized have died with Christ so that we might rise with him again. And they get into this this conversation, Nicodemus and Christ, speaking about, you know, Jesus saying to Nicodemus, you know, "I'm not speaking about human things, but, you know, even human things, there are things you don't know, and yet you believe in them anyways. So why can you not believe these things that I'm telling you based on the way that I'm teaching them?" But this gets into the fact that Christ even has to bring in this analogy of an image of the wind coming and going and not knowing where it's coming from or where it's going, these invisible things that we know are part of our existence. And it reminds us, as soon as he also uses the image of the serpent being raised in the desert, it reminds us that our religion is an incarnational religion. What do I mean by that? It means that it's not only spiritual and it's not only material, but it's a mixture of both. And in Christ, because he takes on human flesh, he knows that we need an incarnational religion, sacraments that are not only symbols and signs, but something that affects the spiritual life. So the washing of water is also the washing of the soul. So the anointing with oil is also the anointing and the confirmation of the Holy Spirit in our soul. So the exchange of vows in the words that we hear is the exchange of each other in the gift of marriage, right? All of these sacraments that we can point to that are incarnational realities. This is what makes us yearn to be at Mass, right? It's not enough for us to stay home and to read the scripture and say, "Well, I'm living my faith." No, it's because we need something more than just ourselves as the sole arbiters of what Christ says. We desire to be incarnate in the church, to be there present physically, and to share in those signs and symbols and realities that he leaves to us. And so this is a rather natural feeling that we're all having of wanting to be not only in a spiritual communion, but be a community as well, a community together. And so keep holding out, right? We'll be back to that, hopefully very soon. But then Christ brings up this image, and as Moses lifted up the serpent, I keep saying servant, I don't know why, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, this comes from the Old Testament, and we might remember this from Sunday school classes, but Numbers chapter 21, if I can find it here, oh, I flipped right to it, lucky me. Chapter 21, verses 8 to 9. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit any man, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Right, earlier in the verses preceding this is that God, in order to chastise the people who keep complaining that they're stuck in the wilderness without food, without water, he sends fiery serpents. And as the people of Israel, as many of them are dying, they go to Moses and say, how can we escape this evil? And so Moses, of course, goes to the people and says, Lord, you know, how can they escape it? Now, what he does is they say, make a fiery serpent, right? Make one of these serpents, make its likeness, and put it on a pole. And whoever venerates that image will be saved. And so here we have in an ancient commentary on the scripture is that we have in the Old Testament the appearance of a poisonous creature, but without the poison itself. That's the image that's there. And of course, this is a type or an anti-type, a symbol that comes before, an image that comes before that shows the image of the cross, as Christ is pointing out. So in that serpent that Moses makes is the likeness, the appearance of a poisonous snake without the poison. And as this ancient commentator said, that we have Christ in the flesh, and it's the appearance of sinful flesh, but without sin. Right? The appearance of sinful flesh, but without sin. So that whoever gazes upon Christ might be delivered from the sinfulness, just like those who gazed on the image of the poisonless serpent were saved from the poison itself. Those who keep their eyes fixed on Christ crucified, keep their eyes fixed on sinless humanity, and are saved from sin. And so let us continue to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Let us continue to live for him and him alone, his glory and the building up of the kingdom. We can even do that in our homes. We can do that if we have to go out. We can do that as we go out by not looking, by not sulking about, but by living the joy of sinless lives and being able to transmit that to others. God bless you, and we'll see you soon. In conclusion, let us go ahead and pray together the St. Michael prayer, as well as the intercessory prayer that the bishop sent to the priest to be prayed during the coronavirus outbreak. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of soul. Amen. Merciful Father, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, Saint Roch, and Saint Rosalie, deliver us from the current attack and subsequent suffering we are enduring from the coronavirus. May we seek to assist those in need in body or spirit, and ourselves turn away from sin and trust in you. We ask this in the name of the Divine Physician, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.